Last week, Pastor G had talked about developing a spending plan. We don't like to use budget. I don't know why. There's so much to say about this subject. I don't even know where to start. I was sitting there the other day and just thinking about it. Where do you start? And I've only got 3 hours allotted to me today, so I guess we'll just start and just kind of roll into it and get through it, and dinner will be ready then, right? All right. You know, if you would, please, just turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs is loaded with all kinds of information about finances. And I'd like to cover some of those, but I'm not going to. No, I'll cover a few. I was going to have something pithy come up and say, okay, Pastor G was talking about getting a spending plan. Not a bad idea. Thank you very much. But we'll do this. So Proverbs, it starts out in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, etc., etc. The whole idea of this is here's a guy, King Solomon, says, I want to give you some wisdom. And in fact, there's a little picture of wisdom in verse 20, crying without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom is calling out to us and wants us to have some smarts. And one of the things God wants us smarts about is money. But unfortunately, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Proverbs 1, 30 and 31. We're gonna hear the words of wisdom. You're going to see it because you got your Bible. You can see it. And then many of you will reject it. And you're going to eat that fruit that you find in your own way and be filled with your own fancies. And it's like, well, that sounds good. It's snarky. He's not saying it's going to be yum, yum. It's like you're going to be eating petrid, putrefying sores, boils. Yum. Doesn't that sound good? That's really the picture. We're rejecting the wisdom of God when we don't listen to him about what he tells us in Scripture, and especially with finance. Especially with finance. Reject the wisdom of God, and you're going to dine on that festering boil and be filled with the consequences. It sounds disgusting. But if you eat rotten carcass on the side of the road, it's not going to be a good night. You know, it's just not going to be a good night. You're going to be sick. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12, and repeated in Proverbs 16:25. So maybe, just maybe, we should stop, pause, listen to God, what God has to say, particularly about finances. Last week we heard Jesus talk more about hell and money than he did about the gospel. Isn't that funny? If you go through Proverbs, I would say that there's probably more in there about finances than there is about anything else. Wisdom, by the way, is the moniker of Jesus Christ. That's his name. That's who wisdom is. He's the one saying, hey, listen, let me tell you the way that you should go. Now, it's strange that more parents don't sit down with their kids to talk about money. Now, Sue and I, we did, because I'm that kind of person. It's just a natural bent for me to talk about money. I get all in their stuff. I know everything about my kids and their money, even today. But here's the thing. We missed the mark. How do I know that? My daughter went out and got her first job. It was at 7-Eleven or whatever that thing was, IGA. She gets her check, brings it home, and she is shocked, literally shocked, by the first deduction, which is 7% plus of her income for Social Security and Medicare. She couldn't believe it, 7%. So if she made $100, there goes 7. Bye-bye. Now I made 93. And then she was floored that they would take more money from the federal government income tax and the state income tax because she had completed her W-4 and her IT-2104 incorrectly and had too much withheld. There goes another $20 on a $100 check. She now has, what did I say, $73. She's like, where's my money? It's gone away. And I was, oh, wow. We never taught her that. We never talked about taxes. How foolish. And I'm the guy that, you know, here's the guy that teaches this stuff. And I would dare say that most of you have learned what you've learned about finances, OJT, on the job, right? You went out there, you got your first check, you spent it, the end of the week came, and there's no more money left, and you found out you're biweekly. Oops. Oh, what am I going to do now? So what's the right way to approach this? How do you prepare a spending plan? So let me just pause for a minute and go off script. How do I do it? All right, here's the thing. You have to set aside time. You have to get to your kitchen table with your checkbook, with all your financial information. Sit down, and a lot of time. Just sit down and start. I don't know how to do it. All right, here we go. We're going to do an exercise. The Martins aren't here. Darn. Because the boys, they know money. And they know what things cost, so they would be helpful, unlike, you know, others. Ouch. So let's just talk about food. So I want to prepare a spending plan, and one of the things that you have to do is eat. So you don't know how to do it. Sure you do. Sit down at the table. Do this. Breakfast. Somebody's got to keep score. Who's going to keep score? Who's taking notes? Nobody. Okay, good. You're taking notes. Don't look like, I get the notepad. I wasn't going to use it, though. All right. All right, just real quick, we're just going to go through this because, you know, I got 3 hours. Breakfast. All right, now we're not going to say what you eat. I don't care. I'm telling you what you're going to eat. And then, how many have internet connection? How many have internet connection? All right, good. So you can look these up. You ready? All right, I'm going to eat 2 eggs. Write it down. You got writing that down? Lori. Okay, acknowledge.
Breakfast.
2 eggs. I'm going to have a slice of toast. I'm going to have 2 pieces of bacon. Okay. And I'm going to have something to drink. What am I going to drink?
Coffee.
Hello?
Water.
Coffee. No. Coffee. I want to spend money. Oh, I could do that with bottled water. That's right. If you're going to melt them, drink them. I could get some glacier water. So here we go. How many eggs do you buy at once?
12.
How many am I going to eat if I eat 2 a day for 30 days? I'm going to eat 2 eggs every day for 30 days. How many stinking eggs? 60. How many dozen is that? 5 dozen. Write down 5 dozen. Somebody look up what's a dozen eggs cost. Quick, come on, let's make this. Raise your hand. I can't understand a word you're saying. Did you say how much? How much? All right, so two. He's getting the wrong eggs.
Kitchen eggs.
$30. As of last night, they were about $3.59.
All right, $3.59. So round up to $4. This is a spending plan. Round. $4. How many dozen? 4 times 5.
27.
Okay. I'm going to eat a slice of bread. How much is a loaf of bread?
$1.
All right, we got a dollar. How many slices in a loaf? Depends on the loaf. Wonder Bread, because it's cheap and it's processed.
Aldi's,
how much? Dollar?
$1.
So I'm going to buy two. $2. All right, what else is that? Bacon. Harry, how much does bacon cost?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Quick, how much does a bacon cost? $7 for how many? About
12 ounces.
That makes a lot. That's 12 ounces. Yeah, I said I was going to eat. How much was I going to eat? 3 ounces. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm buying a slice. So I got $7 for a packet. I'm going to eat two packets, maybe three packets in a month.
So $21.
Coffee?
Who cares?
Who cares? Right, another one. It doesn't matter. I go to the cafe.
Butter.
You're going to get, just relax. So I go to the cafe and I get it. No, I'm right at my house. So I'm going to put my Keurig in there. That's 80 cents a cup. 30 times 80, $2.40, $3. Now we're going to throw in, now right away I want to put butter on it. I got to cook the egg in butter. I got to butter everything. I heard somebody, I think it was you. No, wait, it wasn't you. Somebody cooked bacon, and then they put butter in the bacon.
Ooh.
Yeah,
no.
I never heard of that. Look at
scrumptious.
Wow. All right, so we got to get some butter. Butter is four sticks.
$4 in a pack.
So $4. I'm probably going to use 8 sticks.
How much butter do you need?
I like butter. So there's $8.
Okay.
It's like frosting. That's right. If you leave it on the counter, put a cover over it. It is literally frosting. All right, so I got breakfast done. I got my drink. You don't have to agree with what I'm making. How much is this going to cost me in a month?
$54.
So I've got one meal, $54 for a month. Now I got to go to lunch.
You missed half and half
in sugar. No, I'm a good guy here. I'm rounding up. That's why. But it's totally under control. Just give me the meds. That's right. So, keep going. Quick. Lunch.
Leftovers.
BLT.
A BLT. Listen to him. I got the sandwich bread already. I've got to get another loaf for that. I got to get some nice processed meat from the Sodders. Got to slice that right up. How much is a turkey, wad of turkey? I don't know.
$10
a pound. I don't know how much you eat in a sandwich. I always go with the slice. See, they should sell by the slice. I want, because I tell them, I want 47 slices of turkey.
Stop.
I do.
You do not.
Yes, I do. And then they said, what? How much is that? I don't know. Cut 47. I'll count with you. 1, 2, 3. Seriously. So now they don't talk to me. So I don't know how many pounds you eat in a week, but I don't have a clue. Let's say, is it a quarter pound on a sandwich? I don't know. 4 ounces? Here we go. I got to have 4 ounces. So that really means 8 ounces because, you know, cafe's trying to make some money. So they give you half of what you need. So you get 8 ounces. 8 ounces, how many in a pound? 2, 6, and 8, 16. That's 1 pound, isn't it? Wow, my chubs. I'm going to need several pounds, right?
Okay.
I'm going to need
$40. Okay, really,
$40. Well, sure. So I got a sandwich. I know I need mustard and all that. We'll just throw some extra in there.
Mayonnaise.
Not a mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
So now we go to dinner. Dinner, you got to have some food. You got to have a can of beans. Can of beans is what, $8? I have no idea. I don't shop. Bag of beans, whatever. What is it? Well, you want a six pack of soda?
No,
you got. You want about the same thing. You could. Water's more expensive, but you can. You know, you can spend any money any way you want there, James. All right, so James wants $2.50 times 30 for his water for lunch. But it has to be. pH balance has to be. My wife has these vats of water now that she carries around. They're just big. And they're like this big. Just, wow, you're drinking all that water. That's really something. Not for me. I like the square bottle, too. It's easy to hold on to. So I got 250 times 30. Got it?
75.
That's what James wants to drink. I can't help you. I'm just... All right. Well, just wait till you hear what he wants to drink at night. Six-pack of something else. James doesn't even know I'm talking about. So let's move on to dinner. Got to move to dinner. A bag of beans. What is that? I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I'm just making stuff up. You need a vegetable. You know, here's the theory. Vegetable, starch, and protein. All right, whatever.
A bag of beans is about $1.
All right, so I'm going to eat a half, third, probably a quarter because I hate them. So a quarter, let's say five, goes 5 days, five, six. I need six of those.
Okay.
Then we need starch. What's a bag of potatoes cost?
$10, right?
$10, yeah. I ain't buying those. Something ain't right there. Fell off the truck. So I got a bag of potatoes. Going to last me a whole, probably a month. I'm alone. So one potato, two potato, three potato, four. No.
No way.
10. How much was it?
Two or three bags of potatoes. You're
going
to have one every night?
Okay, sure.
You have 10 potatoes in a bag.
Okay, 10 potatoes in a bag. They cut them down.
So how much do we want to say? $30 maybe?
All right, $30. Good. Now I need meat. And I'm going to eat fish. No, not salami. I'm going to eat some fish. I'm going to get tilapia. When Wegman's fishing caught them, reeled them in. I don't know, what's tilapia cost, Glenn?
$5 for $3.
$6 a pound.
They weigh just under a pound each one.
All right, so there you go. How many of them things are going to eat? I don't know. Not 30. I'm not going to eat a pound of fish. Probably, let's say a third, so I need, instead of 30, I need less than that, 10. Yeah. All right. What's our total cost there, Lori? She's ciphering.
Okay. Beans for $6, potatoes for 30, meat for 60, that's $96 so far.
Right, 96 for that, and then we have the other food we already did.
Oh.
Breakfast, lunch. James insisted. I haven't even added in the food yet, the drink for evening.
Okay, hold on. 116 plus 96 plus 54 is...
Round it.
I don't round. Here, according to my husband, he's good at his head, 266.
266, so let's say 275.
Okay.
I have a budget. I have a spending plan. I've written it all out. I've priced it. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It just starts somewhere. So we just did that, and it took us 5 minutes. And we have now $275 a month for me. I'm not feeding the other ones, right? Sue, she's on her own. Now, in your experience, $275, now you're going to divide by four because everybody does. That's about $60. And change, it's almost $70. $70 per person per week, does that sound about right? All right, so you've already got one part, $275, biggest part, food. The other items that are on your spending plan are pretty simple, they're pretty fixed, aren't they? That's what you have to sit down and do it. You can't not do a spending plan. Now let's talk about some more. First, let's go back to the thing I first mentioned. We need a spending plan because if we have our own way with our finances, the fruit is going to be entirely focused on self. We will be consumed by our lust or our strong desires with food. Just that piece. Because James had to have $2.50 water. But the point is, if we don't have a plan and think it through, we're going to be consumed and just buy and spend never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. Proverbs 27:20. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Ecclesiastes 5:10. It never ends. But they that will be rich will fall into a temptation and snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6:9. God doesn't force himself on us. In fact, he uses us to reach others. Doesn't he? So he doesn't force himself by some magical thing that happens. He doesn't show up and say, "Hey, Mike, I really want to know you." No, he brings someone like Lori over and says, "God really wants to know you. Jesus Christ really wants a relationship with you." It's us, right? So he doesn't force himself in. So this suggests, by the way, that we give the gospel. We also have to give this other information about finances. He makes his ways known through his word. And in finances, it's there. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to need help. I don't know 10 people that I've, well, I don't know 3 people that I don't know one person that I've talked to in budgeting, spending plan, that has done their W-4 or their IT-2104 correct. Not one. Every single person, it's my easy kill. When they give me all their information, and they do, I'm dealing with a family now, and they, you know, they're tight in their budget, yep. It's funny, they know what they spend, but they haven't put it in a plan. Because I talked to them, what are you spending rent? $14.75. I said, $14.75 a day? No, $14.75 a month. Okay, all right, cool. What are you spending on electric? It's included. What are you spending on internet? $175. It's just like that. You do the same thing, don't you? Don't you know what you spend? You may not know what you spend overall because you haven't put it in writing, but you know what you spend on these things. What do you spend on NYSEG every month? So heat. Well, that, if you break it out, $250, $175, you know what the number is. So I'm going through all these things. They have no idea what it totals up to. And they're like, "We don't have any money left. We're really struggling." So I went through it, and I get there. I love getting a tax return. It's my favorite. A, I see everything with it, right? But B, I look at, wow, they have 2 children. What did they get on their tax return? An income tax credit for those sweet little babies. It's what, I think it's $3,600 now or something? $3,600 tax credit? What did they account for in a W-4 and IT-2104 for their tax credit? Zero. So what was their refund? Big, $6,000. And then some, because they paid in too. So just do the math. $6,000 divided by 12, it's $500 a month. How much do you think they're short in their monthly budget? Just about. Easy win. We're just not listening. So God doesn't force himself, but then he gives us this word, and it's great. Here it is. Wow. And if you get one that has colored pages like mine, people writing all over it and stuff, you get cheat sheet. You don't even have to think. Because if you go to my Proverbs, it says over in the right, finance. So I don't have to read the whole thing. I just got to go over and find the words that says finance. And then I know all the words about finance, right? But here's the thing. That's not your Bible. So you get your Bible. What do you start doing? Start reading Proverbs and then what? Finance. Wake up the next day. Don't tell me that you're sitting there, I'm going to study finance, sit at the kitchen table. First off, I know you're not, because you don't have a spending plan. Second, when you sit down to read your Bible, be honest, and you don't have a pad of paper and a pencil and the TV off, and you're sitting somewhere decent, you don't have all that, what are you doing? Sitting in an easy chair. I got some easy chairs. Man, they're comfortable. You get right in there, just comfy. You know, I deserve that break. And I sit down, and I got that stand that I can, that Raquel broke. You can put your Bible right on. So you don't even have to hold it. Because you ever try to hold one of these? They're hard to hold and study and like doing stuff. So you set it on there, you set it on the rack there, and then I got it all set. I'm going to read it. Then I wake up. Right. That's nice. So you got to sit down and study it. And the thing is, if you start studying finance, where are you going to look? You don't know. Well, I pray Jesus will lead me. He tells you right in Proverbs, seek counsel. You know, you get arrested. You get arrested. What's the first thing the police do when they're arresting you? Now, some of you know. Read your rights. What's your right? Your right to remain silent. And what do they try to do?
Get you to talk.
You to talk. And can they lie? Oh, absolutely. Did they commit an illegal act when they lied to you? Absolutely not. So they could watch Law and Order. You'll see it. They lied to them. And what's the best advice you can get when you get arrested? Shut up and call a lawyer. Get counsel. And if you get arrested, you would do that. It's funny when you get pulled over, a police officer walks up to your car and he says, you roll down the window, and what does he ask? You know why I pulled you over? And you said, I was speeding. Guilt. you have now confessed. Awesome. All right, so seek counsel. We start studying these things, and we don't even know where to study. Where are you going to look? I love it. So God says, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you this Bible, and I expect you to study it and learn something. But then he tells you, seek counsel. It's okay. Ask somebody. Ask him. It's going to be okay. The problem is, we don't want to ask somebody. We especially money. Whose money is it? Fell into that trip. Wrong, God's. But that's what you think. This is my money. There we go. He makes his way known. Do you know? Do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. James 4, 5 through 7. He says, just God's going to be gracious if you submit. That's what we don't like to do. God expects us to submit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You heard this last week. And lean on your own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. That's the basis for establishing a spending plan. First, understand that we're here on this planet saved by grace, and God wants the best for us. So he wants you to succeed in your finances. But that doesn't mean he's going to give you everything you want. He's going to give you what you need. And he's going to provide you with counsel. That's people. Yeah, it's here in the Word, but you can't. I want to know what's going wrong with my body. Today, I can go on the internet, right, and find it all. Self-diagnosis, one of the problems. What do you do? Don't you go to somebody that studied it? At least find out if you're even on the right track? Don't you ask the question, what's my heart doing? My blood pressure. Does that matter? Yes. So don't you get it measured by somebody who knows how to measure it? And don't you ask the questions? Why don't we do that with finance? That's what we're here for. Those that have studied it can provide you with the outline. It's amazing. I just unbelievable. Now we do our taxes online, TurboTax and Tax Act Now and all those. Okay, that's cool. That's good. I like it. But did you get any instruction before you jumped on there and filed taxes through that thing? It's just funny how bold we are with a tax law. We don't even know what a Section 1310 exchange is. No clue. We don't know what's available to us. I just found out we could do just a little structure, a little change in our structure in the company, and we can shift our taxes to later and not pay tax now. You know how valuable that is? We pay 21% corporate. If I could shift that to later, doesn't matter when, I just shift it later. It's cash flow. We have so many things that we can do as individuals to prepare for the future. Believe it or not, our government has set up a really good system, 401k, Roth, all these things that we could lay money aside. And we have to force people. So you work for companies now, and you start to work for them, and in 3, 6, 9, 12 months after the fact, you're allowed to participate in a 401k. Well, it used to be you just start saving, you know, put money in there. Why? Because we match it. You know, what do you try to get in the stock market? What's the ideal return? Anybody know what the 10%? That's the ideal return, because how long has the Dow been out there? 150 years, 200 years since it's been there. 10% return in any 10-year period, theoretically. So 10%. If you put a dollar in most 401ks, you know what the return is immediately that year? 100%. Either 25% to 100%, depending on your employer's match. Wow. Why wouldn't you put it in there? So now companies have said, because we've done studies, the government has done studies, and they said, yeah, no one's putting in their 401k. They're not doing it. So they've allowed us to just enroll you. So we enroll at 3%. Then you gotta disenroll. So that piece of cheese to unenroll is buried underneath the salami and everything else. You gotta find it. It's not easy. It's not gonna be easy to unroll. That's the little trick. Right? That way they're at least putting away 3%, because we won't. So God says, ask. I've provided it. Ask. Now, knowing that we cannot possibly handle our finances, right? We established that right up front. We'll be eating putrefied sores. It's a different way of using that verse, okay? That's what that is, Paul. We need to seek God on the matter. No, after all, he owns what? A cattle on a thousand hills. He's the creator of all things. We'll beat that to death later. There are so many biblical principles that one can glom onto. You can get this information. It's the scriptures replete with it. Let me give you a couple examples. This is the basis. These are things that you can find. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 24. What does that tell you? Sluggard's not going to work, and then they're going to beg in the harvest when there should be plenty. Same idea. Sluggard's going to spend it all, and they're not going to have a thing, and they're going to be asking people when they should have been reaping what they've sown in their retirement. They're going to have to ask for help. Same thing. He tells us that our name is more important than our riches. This is one of these fundamental things that God tells. He says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, loving favor than silver and gold. Proverbs 22:1. Doesn't that suggest something about your finances? He says, your name... A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Doesn't that tell you something about your finances? Maybe you should give up a little bit of that income and find yourself something to do for others, and it's going to establish you as a good person. It's not going to get you to heaven, but it's going to establish you. Why is that important? It's better that way, because now people will come to you and you have something that you can give to them. So good name's better. A fool spends all they have. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Proverbs 21:20. Now that there is a biting commentary. Because I have been there. I have been at the precipice and looked over and thought, wow, this is not a good way to do finances. And I was very young when I did that. And I was one of those fools that spent every penny and then dug through the couch and stuff to try to spend more. Because I didn't spend enough because my eyes were never full. You know, you want to really, you find that you want a situation where you want to buy a house. That's a great test. It's a great test because you're walking through, and in today's world, well, not so much today, but the last 13 years, we've been a bunch of boneheads at 3% mortgage. And what have we done? We have gone in debt more in these past 13 years than any time in history because it was easy. Instead of affording a $100,000 house or a $50,000 house, whatever, you know, in real terms, not today's terms, you know, a $150,000 house buys a lot of house back in the day. So we would go, well, sweetums, we can go 250 because the rates are so low. Forgetting that that 250 house has a lot more maintenance. And if you think that has a lot, 400, 500 million, you know, you get up these numbers, which are real, they're very hard to keep up. So a fool spends all their money. These are just things that you can find right on the surface. Easy. Just write them out. Just say, okay, these are, you know, you're not doing anything except getting principles. And then you just read them and meditate on them and think about them. When I read, a fool spends all that they have. A foolish man squanders all. I pause for a moment and say, okay, am I a fool? I guess I am, because I don't have anything left. Maybe I should take a little wisdom from God. He reminds us that others are to be factored into our financial planning. The desire of the slothful man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long. But the righteous gives and spares not. What a contrast. What a contrast that is. Here's a person, slothful, lazy, good for nothing. They don't want to work, or they're going to work just enough. And what do? They covet, not just covet greedily. That's like a double. It's worse. How can you get worse than coveting? Covet greedily. And that's what this guy does all day long. Have you ever been around somebody that just is not satisfied? Just not satisfied. How much more do you want? More. How much more? More. You know, we've heard the Rockefellers, and it's funny, Rockefeller, the crazy guy, Hughes, and then there was another one. They all said the same thing when asked. How much more? One more. One more dollar. All independently, all confirmed, all said it. And they're all dead. Didn't help much. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. Proverbs 22:9. So we need to consider biblical principles when preparing our spending plan. That's my point. You can go through, and we're going to go through some of them. We just did some. We'll go through more. And what I like to do, and I taught my kids a little late in life in 2000, so I don't know how old they were. Zach was 5 or 6 or something. The other ones were older, right? We said, we learned this idea of a box. And I absolutely love the concept. The box. You know, you always hear, live outside the box. Think outside the box. Think outside the box. I just said that to somebody at work. Think outside of banking. Because they were being really stupid with a solution. And it was just dumb. And they knew the answer, but they just couldn't think outside of the banking box. But in our world, believers, we want to be in the box. What's the box? The box. Just think of boundaries. I can't go this way or that way without hitting a wall. I'm not going to be able to go outside that box. I have to establish foundations. We've heard this story before, right? The wise man builds his house upon a rock. Well, you're going to build these foundations and walls, and you're going to determine, I'm not going to go outside of the box. And if you do that with a spending plan, you'd be amazed how quickly you can get things righted. Not without paying consequences. If you waited too long, and it's never too long, but if you waited till you've got to take the consequences, then swallow that bitter pill and suffer the consequences and get through it. Just do it. Just lay it before God and say, okay, I understand. I'm going to have to pay for this for a while, but with your grace, which we've already covered, and your power and your help, I'm going to get through this, right? So let's build a box. It may have more than 4 sides. Boxes come in all shapes and sizes. I just read that to Peter. That'd be a great kids' book. All right, God, here's number one. God is the owner of all that I have. Therefore, my spending plan needs to reflect his desires and bring glory to him. So God is the owner of everything that I have. Therefore, my spending plan needs to reflect his desires and bring him glory. That's one of the walls that I have in many areas of my life. Many, 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 many areas. It's got to be. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and all that dwell therein. Kind of comes with all, Psalm 24:1. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Simple. 1 Corinthians 10:31. You don't even have to know Greek. Right? It's pretty straightforward. What am I going to do today? Am I going to eat, drink, or whatever? Yep. Bring glory to God. You don't have a choice. Both riches and honor come of thee, and you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might. And your hand, in your hand, it is to make great and to strength to all. 1 Chronicles 29:12. There's one we don't go to often, right? This is our God. We recognize that. Bang, one wall. Got a wall. No matter what I do with my spending plan, I want to live up to those verses. I'm going to live up to those verses. So you have to ask yourself, is what I'm proposing in my spending plan going to bring honor and glory to God? You say, well, what does that mean? Okay, we'll get to a couple exams, but since you pressed me. All right, so now I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a family vehicle. I'm the dad, you know. So I go out on my own and I buy the family vehicle. What did I buy? Oh, no. I bought, close, a Miata. Remember those 2-seaters? How many kids do I got? 4. I have a spouse as well. How many are fitting in that Miata? Two. First off, it's dumb. But does that bring honor and glory to God? Who was I thinking about? I was thinking about me. I don't want a Miata, but I'm just used that because that's all I could think of. I could come up with a couple others. But here's the thing. What brings honor and glory to God? When you don't put yourself first in the equation. There's a really easy, simple. Was I thinking of myself first or others? In my case, family. 2nd principle, I did put the first thing first, God. The second thing is the second thing. Giving is a priority. Giving is a priority. But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 8:6-8. Now, is that hard to understand? I thought that was a pretty good verse, or couple. You'll hear taught, oh, the tithe is not optional. Okay, true. I'm giving a tithe. Grudgingly, right? That's not what God wants. I have worked with families for a lot of years. And some families come to me and say, I can't do that. And we go through their little spending plan. And the way that it is, absolutely correct. But in time, with a change of mind, they put that off, they renew their mind, and they put on a new way of thinking. And sure enough, they're able to give as a priority. Now, that happens to be in Corinthians in the context of the church. God loves it when we give. And, you know, that's critical. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11:25. If you're not feeding into other people's lives, they're not going to feed into your life. Simple, plain truth. You say, well, I give plenty. That tells me you don't. Because I would love to have someone say that to me and then show me their spending plan. 9 times out of 10, they won't have one. Now, if you're insulted by this, show me your spending plan. And I'll apologize. So I did this a long time ago. Pastor Prime. It was a changing point in my life, saved forever, you know, a long time, absolutely. And he said to me, when are you going to get serious? Just what, you know, is that kind of relationship? Feeding into my life. I was like, what? So we had to talk that through a little bit. As we talked that through, one of the things, finances came up. Now, I was doing just fine. And I was tithing. So we just started rethinking. And then we put a spending plan together. And, you know, we found so much fat. So much fat. Just, wow, where is this money going? First off, I know what I made, but I didn't know what I took home. Not really. Didn't even think about it. Started going through that, and it's changed the way that we approach it. Our family, it changed it. And I just don't care if my children didn't get exactly what they wanted when they wanted it. I was just thinking about it today. And this, I'll probably do this. You know, Peter and Josh, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're wonderful, yada, yada, yada. They got good parents, you know, okay. But I was going through the house yesterday. Sue's coming home. She'd been gone for 2 weeks. So, you know, I got to pick up the dirty underwear and all that stuff, right? So I'm going through the house. And the living room is just a hot mess because Peter has more toys up there because Raquel found some toys in the basement, brought those toys upstairs, and there's toys everywhere. So I have had it. Now, earlier in my career as a parent, that did not happen because that was not allowed. That's just not. So I'm softened. So I went through and I started picking up these toys. And I put a bunch of them back in the basement, and I left some of them out. And the ones that I left out were toys that my children had when they were 4 and 3 and 2. All these old toys. So I'm thinking, this is what's happening. I'm wrapping those toys up. He's 2. He's going to sit down. He's all excited. He's got a pretty present. He's going to rip it open, and he's going to have a toy. And then he's going to look at it, play with it for a second, get the next present. I'll give him 100 presents, all from the basement. Why would I bother giving him more? Right? There, Joe, I got stuff in my car. You got to see this. You can have it all. This is how bad I am, and I didn't even dust them off. My wife was cleaning out underneath the bed. Now, you all, I'm telling you, no one goes under their bed. Don't even tell me. But our bed is a king size, so in the middle is stuff that ended up there by accident. So I have a thing about shoes. They should go under the bed, and they should be lined up. Well, and that's just my thing. So I was doing that. Well, apparently, I took a pair and I put them in, and they pushed another pair that were under there into the back. And then I must have done that several times. I got shoes I have never worn or very rarely worn, and then I bought the same shoe again. Because I don't buy different shoes. These are the first time I bought different shoes because my feet have to have something different. I always buy the same shoe. So I've got 3 or 4 pair of the same shoe. Because that's where I am. I buy the same shirt. I buy the same shoe. I buy everything the same. That way, I got 6 pair of the same pair of pants. That's what I am. It's easier. I don't have to match anything. Of course, I went to work and I was unmatched. Because if I could unmatch it, I will. So the point is, you know, we got these things. We get so much, we don't even know what we're doing. Giving's a priority. It's when you give and you start serving others, you start thinking about that, and then it's not that I don't know how to put this. I feel bad for people when they're, like, really struggling. Now, I have a mix of pessimism in there because I've worked with families without a lot. And, wow, you have built this. This is the putrefying sores. They're just munching down on those. You know how you cut yourself? Just imagine you cut yourself a boil and then give you a visual. I know you like that, Deb. I know you liked it. So I see it, and I want to help. And the wrong answer is just to buy them more stuff. But the right answer is to serve them and help them find a better way. So this is giving is a priority. Number 3. I will not spend more than I have. You got that one? You're memorizing this stuff. You're writing it down? I will not spend more than I have. Wow. Is that a biblical principle? Yep. I should store away a portion to prepare for what I know will happen. You heard about this last week. Are the tires going to go bad on the car? Yep. It's just what's going to happen. Is the refrigerator going to break? Yep. Every time. Water is going to seep through that water heater and all over the basement floor. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. This is a gift from God for us to get what we get and then to enjoy it. Absolutely, Ecclesiastes 5:19. However, he that loves pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loves wine and oil shall not be rich. Proverbs 21:17. Wine and oil, the luxuries of the day. If you love this stuff, you're never going to make it. If you let things control you, you will never make it. You have to be the big boy or girl and make decisions based on what you have. You can't live on love. You'll hear that if any of you decide ever to find a future husband or wife, if you talk to me. You can't live on love. I told my children this. I know you love each other, but have you done a spending plan? Will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagles toward heaven. Proverbs 23:4-5. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or them that are sureties of debt. If you have nothing to pay, why should you allow them to take your bed from under you? Proverbs 22:26-27. The borrower is the servant of the lender. Proverbs 22:7. You say, well, you're a lender. Well, I believe there's a proper way to use debt. Some of you rent. Some of you have a mortgage. What's the difference? Equity. That's the difference. It's a good thing. I don't know any other way to get it unless you're going to live with your parents, which is another way. This couple I was talking to just recently, they said, here's our budget. We're 500 short, give or take. Well, I found a 500 in their W-4 and IT-2104. Hello, get it there. Then if you want to live that way to the last penny, you can do it. But they said, should we live with our parents? I said, yep. If your parents are willing to let you live with them, yeah. Live that coin for a while. Absolutely. Right in the basement. That's where my kids would be. Just for fun, we're looking at houses, and it's automatic. Peter's going with us. His parents can join us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, magnanimous, isn't it? But as a result, I have to find a house where Peter can live. Right? So there has to be an apartment, because I assume he's going to bring his parents. That's the way I look. It don't bother me. They can live in it, right? They can live in my house. Will I make them pay rent? Of course. There's one property, and we won't get it, but there's one property. There's 7 mowing acres and a mile-long driveway. Well, Michael's going to have to plow and mow, right? It's just what it... That's the rent. Because Peter's going. So... There's another way to do it. Now, if they did come to us and they said, oh, we just can't do it. Well, first off, I'd punch Michael. I'd carefully and run. But I would set that young lad down because I look to the father to take care of this. And I would, what are you doing? And then he's going to say, well, Raquel, stop. Stop right there. Don't pull an Adam on me. And he won't. But if he did, I would, that's what, wait, no. You're the dad. You lead. It doesn't matter what you think of that. That's the scripture. Now, is his wife right there alongside Raquel? Oh, believe me, she is. But she's clueless. You take out a 20 and she doesn't know what that is. She has no concept. She's just a clueless individual with money. She just, it's something you spend. What does it cost? I don't know. So you got to watch these things. So if they came to us and we had to, yeah. They're living in the basement. They're not living in my house. They're living in the basement. Why? It's all redone. It's not like it's icky and it's all dry. It's fine. And there's all toys down there for Peter. Peter can have a room upstairs. Peter has a room upstairs. I'm just saying. He's in an exercise room right now because he chooses to be. And then someday, I know where he's going to be in one of the either Zach's or Desiree's old room. Or maybe the princess suite. I might put them in the princess suite. So the thing is, we would do it, but then I would hold them accountable and say, okay, now, what are you doing to correct this? What are you doing to get out of my house? Right? Or if it's a permanent situation, I would make sure, what are you doing to build a barrier so that you stay on your side and I stay on mine? I need to check my flesh at the door. Now, the priority is to develop around my needs and not my wants. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, 31 and 33, and there's a parenthetical in 32. He said, what are you worried about? Don't worry about the food, clothing. You know, I'm going to take care of all that. If you seek first, I know it's in the kingdom passage, but it's also followed up in James, you see it. This idea of putting God first and just don't worry about the, that's why we covered it first. Don't worry about the food, clothing, housing, it's going to be there. The really tough one in our society is housing. Absolutely. It's very hard. There are folks on a waiting list to get rental assistance. There's just not enough money in it. And I know that. So we got to come up with a solution on that, and we're working on it, I guess, but wow, what do? Again, you've got people here, the fellowship. This is what we're here for, to figure it out. But in America, I don't see a lot of thin dudes and dudettes. We're all doing all right. We're eating all right. I don't see where the clothes are so tattered and worn. We've got more clothing available out there in Sal's, Salvation Army, thrift stores. I have a bag in my car right now. In that bag are clothes I have never worn. Why? Because I just get too many things. Kids buy me clothes. It's like, oh, great. I don't like to wear stuff. I already have my stuff. I don't want more clothes. I'll buy my clothes. So I did three bags. I know there's a pair of brand new jeans there. I never wore them. I don't wear jeans. Occasionally, I guess, when I'm working in a Habitat, got them all covered with stuff. But it's just, there's so much out there. We're just too proud. We're too proud, and you got to get over that. The RE store in Ontario County, which is the Habitat store, I don't know if you've ever gone there. I don't care who you are. You should go. There's so much junk there. And it's good junk. It's really dressers and lights and all that. Anything you can think of for a house, it's there. Just go. What do you care? I need a dresser for a kid. Well, they're $5. $5. $20. Whatever. It's less than $800. So you go there. It's beat up a little bit. This. And not this one. Yeah, this one too. This and this. They're white. Before they weren't. These have been painted with some kind of funky stuff. They look pretty good. You can do the same thing with dressers. My daughter took this, just this junk dresser we had, built really well, but it was junk. It's beautiful. She painted it. She just made it look good. Put new knobs on. Hey, you want to do your kitchen over, by the way. Take the knobs off, get new ones. Done. Kitchen's done over. It's true, isn't it? It really works. I didn't believe it. Then we did it. It was like, done. Cabinets are now 30 years old. Look brand new. So the point is we're too proud, and we're not willing to go out there and ask for help. And even if we don't need the help, no one in Habitat, well, you walk into Habitat and you don't need it. They've got so much stuff, they want to get rid of it. You go in there, you buy some. You say, well, I'm taking away. No, you're not. You're feeding their coffers, which is going to be used to build homes. They want you to buy the stuff. And they'll take stuff. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Philippians 3:11-12. We have to understand, Paul said, I've learned. If I don't have it, I live without it. But if I have it, I live with it. And the suggestion is, that's going to happen. It's going to get lean. We are in the financial crisis of the country's history. The biggest financial crisis we will ever see in our country. I don't know that the country will make it. It's too big. $23 trillion of debt on paper, more like 100 and some trillion in reality with Medicare and Social Security. What we're doing is not sustainable. I told you this a few years ago. I told you this would happen. Prices are out of control. It is not 8%. You know that. You go grocery shopping. It's not 8%. I bought a pair of pants, or I was thinking I would buy a pair of pants at this one store. I always buy, because I buy the same clothes. If I could buy tan pants, I will. Why? Because that's what I like. So I always buy this certain kind of pants, and they're tan, and they're there. $198 a pair. They are still on the rack. Now I've decided I like gray pants. We have to be flexible. Could I afford them? Yes. I'm just being truthful. I write the check tomorrow. Not gonna crush my budget. Would I do that? No, absolutely not. Why? Because it's insane. But those were maybe $50 last time I bought them. I'm pretty sure it's $50, which may have been a lot, but it wasn't like that. $198. Oh my goodness. So Paul says, I've learned to be both. So we have to learn the stuff is going to go bad. So you got to prepare for it and learn how to do that. Now, I strongly recommend to parents, send your kids out there and let them work. Let them work and learn early to manage their money, and don't buy them all the junk they want. My kids, and they'll tell you, there's only one of them got a cell phone in high school. Only one. And that was Raquel, because we melted. I don't remember why, but she got a phone. The other three did not. And if it were I would never, ever give my children a phone. I was going to bring an old phone. I found one in the house. And this lady, and it's terrible. What is the one? It's not InstaChat. It's not Facebook. It's the other one. Whatchamacallit?
Snapchat.
So they do these challenges. Is that the one they do the challenges on? No, that's not it. TikTok. That's the one. That's the one. I don't even know how to get on it. I don't even know what it is. It's TikTok. I don't know. I have not seen it. I know it's out there, and it's they challenge kids to do dumb things. And you can apparently find things that you should not get. Well, this one kid got the drugs that he wanted laced with fentanyl. He is now 14, dead. So his parents are suing. Wait a second. How did your kid at 14 do anything on those things without you knowing? I was going to bring the phone in and say, I'm going to tell you right now as a parent, put that phone right there, smash it with a hammer. We can't let these kids have these phones. Now, you may not, I may be offending a lot of you right now. You've got to take these phones. You cannot have these kids on these phones doing what they want. My kids sat at our kitchen table when they accessed the internet. 20 years ago. Why? Because you're not going anywhere but where I see it. Now, you could do covered eyes. That wasn't something that we thought of right then. These were the eyes. I was right there. They turned so I could see that screen, and my wife seen the screen. And let me tell you, we never had an issue. If we had an issue, snap goes that computer out the door. Bang, gone. You're not getting a computer. I need it for school. I need it for... Go to the library. I'm going with you. Now, you ever see the middle, where the punishment, the dad comes up with these stupid punishments for Alex, the older kid, and one of them is he has to stay within six foot of his father, always, and he has a tape measure, and he measures too far out, move it in. That's my stuff. I did that. We are letting these kids do anything they choose, and we're getting it. We're facilitating it. And you say, whoa, that's you're getting personal. I know. That's what I do. It's beware. I don't know how it works, but Snapchat, Instagram, what's the one we just said?
TikTok.
That's from the pits of hell. And you know where that's? It's coming out of China. You don't think they're scraping that information? There's Facebook? I'm off. I'm done. I got off. I close the account. Not just I deleted it. They said, do you really want to delete it? We'll hold it open for you. No, delete it. Get rid of it. No more. Yeah, beware. Now back to this. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy 6:8. So we've built a box. And within that box, those boundaries, now we can start, sit down at the kitchen table and start talking about spending plan. You've got everything you need. You've got the boundaries. Now sit down at the kitchen table with your finances, with your checkbook, and roll through what are you spending money on. You say, oh, I hate doing it. So do I. So do I. It took me 4 weeks to get through the budget for this family that I'm dealing with. 4 weeks. How much fun is that? It's not even my check register or my credit card statement or my, they're not mine. I don't want to know, but I'll do it. I did it because they didn't know what to do. So I did it. You've got to get a hold of this. Inflation is not going away. The Fed is going to raise those rates in November, and they're going to do it again in December. I'm going down to meet with them next week. Yeah, this coming week, this week. And they're going to tell me, we're going to raise rates. What do you think? And I'm going to tell them the same thing I always tell them. You're idiots. Do something about the money that you let loose in the system, soak that back up. Well, that's how we do it with low rates, high rates. Well, it's one way. But they're going to do it. When they raise rates, the low end, the things that you hear about, credit card rates go up, home equity loan rates go up, car loans go up, every rate goes up. housing rates, we are now at 7% on a 30-year mortgage, which is the right place. 7%. Let me tell you, it's not going away. We haven't even started to see the energy yet. You see the weather out there, right? The trees are turned, blah, blah, blah. What's coming up? Winter. Have you saved for that? Have you prepared for winter? So, what do? You got the principles. Now, sit down and write out your expenses. If you come to me, I have a list of things that you must bring to the first meeting. If you don't bring those things to the meeting, I'll go through the list. 2 to 3 years tax returns. I think I reduced it to 2 because 2 gives me enough. 2 years tax returns, W-2s for each of those years because I want to see them. Pay stubs, minimum 1 month's pay stubs. I want to see everybody's pay stub. I want to know all your debts, every single one, how much you owe, what the interest is, and what the payment is. Every single one. I want to know all about them. I want them broken down. Credit cards, auto, student loan, all others. Mortgage. I want to know where it is. How much is it? How much you got left? Where is the house? Got to know. What's it worth? Tell me what the value is. Either get me an assessed value, get me something else. So I got all this list. If you come in and you're missing one item, you leave. I don't want to talk to you. When you come, now reschedule. Good luck, because it ain't happening easy. When I get back on, bring those things and I'll talk to you. And every single time, the issue of finance is not the issue. So I'll leave you with that. It's not the issue. It isn't ever the issue. It's always something else. But you got to start somewhere. So I hope this has been helpful. I may have said some things that are rough, blah, blah, blah. I don't know any other way to put it on the plate. And you say, well, I got everything all together. Like I said, you feel offended, just bring me a written budget and then I'll apologize. And I'll walk you, great, awesome. I don't know that many people that do it. And if they do, they know. They're like, yep. If it weren't for that plan, I would just spend that money. Man, I would. Whew, I got a lot of money to spend. Woo, doggy. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for this time together. I pray, Lord, that you'd help it resonate. Really, just it's you. You've provided everything we need to live life that's pleasing to you. And this is one of the things that it pleases you when we do our finances well. So help us just to establish it. We're going into hard times. It's going to be difficult. We need to do it now. And as we go into it, help us understand it's not going to get easier. It gets a little harder, but then it does get easier. And we recognize the things that you've provided, and we find ourselves content in those things. So help us, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.